Let's turn over to, for those who want to follow, let's turn over to Exodus chapter 10. And we just sang a hymn regarding darkness. We talked about coming out of darkness, being in the light. And here in Exodus chapter 10, we see where God put a plague on Egypt. And he had darkness as the plague, one of the plagues. Let's read it. Exodus chapter 10, verse 21. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt. Now, Egypt was a type of sin. They had many gods, and they didn't obey the true God. And it talks about a darkness which may even be felt. It was so dark that they couldn't see. See their hand in front of them, no matter how close it got. It was so dark, it was felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. God was working with Israel, and God was showing them after the first few plagues that were also put on them that, hey, I'm working with you, and you can see the darkness, and the darkness represents sin. It represents a way of life. It actually represents Satan. Satan is the author of darkness, and we see in today's society how people are living, and we don't need to get... Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 1. We don't need to get... As you turn over to Genesis chapter 1, I also want to turn to... Because we're going to come back to Genesis, but I want to refer to a scripture in Job chapter 38. But we see the world is living in darkness, and it's not for us to get up in arms, because it's so easy to do, but to come out of the world and to sigh and cry for the abominations that's happening in the world. And we give God thanks and praise for this calling and coming out of the world. But here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So in the beginning of time, the physical creation is when time began. So in the beginning, when God created the physical universe, let's turn over to Job chapter 38 and see here God is talking to Job. Job is thinking, he's going through a great trial and he's not thinking straight, and God is like, Job, wake up. Now let's pick it up in verse 4. He says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I created all this? Tell me if you have this understanding. Who determined the measurements? Surely, Job, you know. You know, sometimes we get this attitude that we think we know more than God. And we don't. Who determined its measurements? Surely, you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? I mean, it's floating, right? It's floating out there. And this gravity somehow holds it in place. And it's rotating. He says, or who laid its cornerstone? So God is talking here, hey, who created? I created this earth, and where were you? But in verse 7, this is the point I wanted to get to. When the morning stars, it's here talking about the angels, when they were created, they sang together. When they were created, they sang together. And when God was creating the physical universe, it says in the last part of verse 7, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So here God is referring to the angels. That's his creation at that time. So when God created, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. So when God created the physical universe, it says all the angels, all of them, Lucifer included, they all shouted for joy. Okay? And then verse 2. So as in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and all the angels shouted for joy. There was peace. There was harmony. There was unity. There was oneness. But then, verse 2, the earth was without form and void. Or the earth became without form and void. Between verse 1 and verse 2, we don't know how many years. Is it tens of thousands? Is it millions? Is it billions? But there's a time in there where the earth became without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. How did that happen? How did that happen? Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 12 as we're talking about darkness, the polar opposite of brightness. That's the title today. Darkness, the polar opposite of brightness, or the polar opposite of light. God uses light and darkness in relation to good and evil. And today I want to look at that perspective, look at this perspective of light and darkness. So as we turn over to Revelation chapter 12, in reference, you know, remember Jesus, what he said when he was sent the 70 people out to go out and perform miracles? And they come back and they're so excited, and he tells them, well, don't be excited for the miracles that you're able to do. Be excited that your name is written in the book, because you're choosing to follow. And then he says, just before that, I seen Satan fall like lightning. He means he saw Satan was kicked out of the throne in heaven and down to this earth. And this is what it says over in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. So this is talking about Satan's rulership and his power. And his tail, verse 4, drew a third of the stars. Okay, the stars that did shine from God's glory. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, so the angels, and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman and was ready to give birth to devour the child. So he was thrown to the earth, and his ways are evil. Let's go to verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So it looks like it's time that Satan is cast down to the earth. It became without form and void. The earth was already created. Continuing in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1, and it says, the Spirit of God. What is God? God is light. God is brightness. Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. Now it's interesting here that when you read this, let me just read this all the way to verse 5. And there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, we could look at this at a couple of ways. He could be referring to it, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, very possible. He could also be referring to that, let there be light, that, and it could be a parallel, that, because it says in John 8, verse 12, that Jesus Christ is light. And we'll see that God is light. The physical reformation of the earth for light, when did that happen? Not till verse 14. And God said, let there be light. In verse 14, be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs for seasons and for days and years. And then he continues, but the physical light here, when it says God made, it means that he didn't make them. They were already there. They were blinded with however he did it. But that word there, as God made, Ashah, in verse 3, says had made. He had already made it. It was already there. So the earth was without form and void and was in blackness because it was Satan's dominion. We know that, let me just read to you, if you remember in the Gospels, remember when Jesus Christ said that, I'm going to go into the grave. I'm going to go into the grave 3 days and three nights. What did he say just before that? Back in John chapter 9, verse 4, you know, Jesus says, as he's going into the grave, he says, night is coming where no one can work. Let me read it from the scripture. But John 9, 4, must work the works of him who sent me. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. I'm the day. I'm the day bringer. I am the light. Christ's presence. The night is coming when no one can work. Referring to him being in the grave. 3 days, three nights. And even during the daytime, night is coming. I'm not going to be here. My presence isn't going to be here. And we know that 2 Corinthians 4, 6, let me just refer it to you. For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Let there be light. God commanded for light to shine out of darkness. Now, that's for us as well, because you continue in that scripture. It says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So when God came to this earth, you know, his presence, let us make man in our image. Let there be light. Okay, Satan was still going to be the god of this world. And you can go back to what I was reading in Revelation chapter 12, and it outlines the plan of God, outlines the church, outlines Jesus Christ, his birth, talks about Herod, who wants to kill Christ, the newborn baby. And you go through the process of Satan is going to be the god of this world, all the way through the church, being protected during the tribulation. So it is interesting to see how this all works out. And Revelation 21, 16, we're going to turn there in a little bit, but it refers to Jesus Christ as bright, the morning star. He is the one who is in brightness. He is the one who is light, him and God. At the time, there's two gods at that time. There was not a sun. It was the two beings, and let's turn over to John chapter 1, because in the beginning, this is the beginning, John chapter 1, we've read it many times, but since we're talking about light, I think it's important to turn over here, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So all things were made by these two gods. And in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And it says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So God's presence, when he said, let there be light, Satan is darkness, didn't comprehend it. When God calls people out of the world today and they choose to follow him, they're following a light. They're following God and they want to show that light in their lives. Why? Because that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be that light. And then the darkness, those of the world, those who choose not to follow God or those who choose or haven't been called yet, they're in darkness. They're in darkness. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 60, because there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. It is going to happen. Isaiah chapter 60. And this is future. This is after the millennium. This is after the rest of mankind is actually resurrected to life, where the books are opened, and where we're told in Revelation chapter 20. This Isaiah 60, verse 19, it says, "The sun shall no longer be light by day." So here it's talking about the physical sun. That's not going to be the light. "Nor the brightness shall the moon give light to you, but it's the Lord will be to you an everlasting light." That's the light that is supposed to be in us today. And for our children, the light to be working with them today. "And your God, your glory, your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended." The mourning. No more pain, no more suffering. In Revelation 21, verse 5, Revelation 21:5. It says, "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these things, write, for these words are true and faithful.'" So this is true, this is faithful. You can count on it. Verse 10, "And he carried me away," this is talking about John, he's in the vision, he's seeing this, "carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." God comes and makes his home on the earth. Verse 11, "having the glory of God." Having the glory of God. "Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." And then verse 23, "The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light." So when God is present, he is light. No need for the stars, no need for the sun, no need for the moon. So in his presence, and he has a Jesus Christ, he has that portable throne, he can travel. It talks about in Ezekiel chapter 1. And it talks about him being on that throne. It talks about these precious jewels and these jaspers and the fire from the waist and up and the fire from the waist on down. When he comes and his glory, it illuminates, it brightens. So much that we see when there's the new heaven and the new earth that there's no need for the sun, the moon, and the stars to have its light, because it says the Lamb is its light. In Revelation 22, verse 5, "there shall be no night there." No night. No darkness. No Satan. No one is going to follow that way of life anymore. So those who are will be God, will be the light. Those who are following God are going to be bright themselves. Now remember where Moses went up to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments from God? When he came back, his face shone, the people were afraid. He had to put a mask over his head. He was in the presence of God. He was showing the glory of God by being in the presence of God. And we know that God is the source of light in the spirit world. Let's read Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. And this is talking about an angel. And you can read this also in Ezekiel chapter 4. You can read this in Daniel chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. This is an angel, all right? And look at the glory that the angel has by being in the presence of God. I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. So this angel was full of brightness, being brightened up, illuminated by God himself. We are to also radiate that light. We are also to be able to glow, maybe not the physical glowing right now, but people should see that we are different, that we are not of the world. We are different than the world. We're not following the ways of the world. We understand what's going on in the world. We understand our calling and what we need to do, as we heard in the sermonette. And we do that by overcoming darkness, by not being like Satan, and being like God, who is light. And if we do that, since we're in Revelation chapter 20, what is the outcome for those who display light? Who are like God, who follow God and don't want any darkness in their life. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And he says, this is John again, explaining this in a vision. He says, I saw thrones. In other words, here he's talking about in the millennium. He said, I'm seeing thrones in the millennium. And they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And this is talking about those, you know, that, you know, the disciples will be sitting on, David will be sitting on his throne. We've got the apostles sitting on their thrones, and the elect, you know, hopefully that's us, will also be there sitting on thrones in judgment. We'll be giving judgment. We'll be God, as I'll bring up towards the end of the sermon. We'll be God. God is creating himself. And judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God. So during the tribulation, there's people that are called at that time, and they have to give their lives for the truth. Who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. So they weren't willing to follow darkness. They weren't willing to serve darkness from internally into the physical aspects of, no, you need to not keep the Sabbath. No, you need to not keep the holy days. No, you need to not keep that way of life. And they chose, no, I will. You do need to follow the beast and the false prophet. No, I will not. It's a mindset, something that's internal, something that we will not do. And they don't, so they lose their heads because of it. And they lived and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So they're resurrected to the first resurrection. And not just for 1,000 years, but this is what it's talking about, reigning and judging. But there's a whole lot more for those who obey God and want to be in his kingdom for eternity. But it says, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. That's talking about the second resurrection. This is the first resurrection, talking about what I just read before that in verse 4. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. For Over such the second death has no power, and they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him for that 1,000 years. And then we know it's beyond that as well. But it says, oh, extremely blessed. Mr. Elliott, one of the pastors here in the past, he used to jump down and say, oh, extremely blessed. And it's like, there's nothing better. Oh, you are so extremely blessed to be in the first resurrection. I have so much to give to you. Please follow me. Get rid of the darkness. We need to be comprehending what is brightness, what is light, and what is darkness. Sometimes we're confused, aren't we? Well, if we know that God's Holy Spirit is not of confusion, it's of a sound mind. And to have a sound mind, we need to be making sound choices. Choices from the Word of God. You know, again, darkness is the polar opposite of light. They do not mix. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here it talks about not being bonded to the world. You can't mix truth with darkness. You know, I've done that. You know, being in business, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, starting in verse 14, says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, look at it this way. He's telling us, don't be connected with darkness. Now, what happens one of our best friends were some of these individuals who are doing some horrendous things in the world right now. Says, don't be unequal yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be connected. Don't have a relationship to the point that, you know, what their influences could do to us. For it says, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? If we are striving to be made right through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and those in the world are still practicing lawlessness and can't see the truth, he says, sever that close relationship. Now, obviously, some of us may be married to unbelievers, and God says, hey, that's fine. You know, it's however that process has worked through you and God has called you, you know, that unbelieving mate can, you know, have an opportunity by your example, by our example. To accept God's calling. There's that opportunity for that individual. But we shouldn't be having the relationships and getting involved with lawlessness, is what he's saying. Those who don't want to follow God to God's instructions. And then it says, and what communion, or here it's talking about you know, the sharing or the comparing. How can you compare has light with darkness? How can you compare that? And what accord has Christ with Baal? He's saying you have the opposites here. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? There's nothing there. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? It doesn't. We are the temple of God. We're not to have idols. We're not to serve other things. We're not to be a part of darkness. We're to come out of it fully. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. And God doesn't want us, God's not going to dwell in us if we're continuing to practice sin. Yes, he's going to dwell with us when we sin. But with the understanding that we don't want to sin, and when we find out that we're sinning, we want to get rid of it and that we want to repent. And walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. We are to be separate from the world. We're to be separate from darkness. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So the question for you and I is, do we truly treasure this? Do we treasure being separate from lawlessness? God has no part of darkness. Darkness is so dark you can feel it. Darkness is so dark you can't see it. Well, you can see dark, but you can't see anything in the darkness. You can't see God's ways in the darkness. Can we see any of God's ways in what's going on in the world today? Do we relish God's ways? These are questions for us to ask, for myself as well. Do we see the status that we have of being called right now? The opportunity. Do we recognize it? Do we appreciate it? And wherever God is present in us, there is light. Light should be reflected in us. And the light doesn't team up with unbelievers. A partner, righteousness can't be a partner with wickedness, is what God is saying. Yes, we will have relationships, we'll have acquaintances. But you know what? There has to come draw that line somewhere where how close we do get with someone. Because light cannot live with darkness. Ephesians 5:8, I'm referred to you, for you were once in darkness. Yes, we were once in darkness. Satan had control of us. But now you are light. Now you're light in the Lord. I've opened your eyes to see. So then walk as children of the light. And then let's turn over to Psalm. A couple verses in Psalm and also in one in Proverbs. Psalm 119, 105. Talking about God's word. Now Jesus Christ is the word. He's a spokesman of God. Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word. Okay, so your word, I can understand it. I can comprehend it. And if I apply it, it says, and a light to my path, to our walk and our everyday life. So God is showing us how to live. He gives understanding to us simple individuals. We have to learn. We have to grow. Proverbs chapter 6, 23, talking about this lamp. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, talking about God's commandment being a lamp. Proverbs 6, 23, for the commandment, God's commandments is a lamp. And the law is a light. So God's way is a lamp and a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So as we heard in the sermonette, it's a process of being corrected. We don't know everything. God's going to guide us. He's going to correct us. And it's up to us to respond, to be corrected. And if God's still working with us and we're not, then he's really going to have to discipline us in whatever way he has to get us to see that his way is the right way. Just as we do with our children when we correct them. Loving, caring, and wanting the best for them. We need God's light. Our children need to be guided and to corrected. 2 Peter says that we are to heed the word of God, which is light. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. We need to heed it. Our lights need to be shining today, even more than ever. And it's going to escalate. You know, you follow before the COVID-19. Being in Hawaii for the feast, you know, our Chase Bank was having issues with funding money. Didn't know if very many of you knew that. Behind the scenes, the Federal Reserve was pumping in billions, tens, hundreds of billions of dollars to keep the financial system afloat. We, it took us a while to get some of our money changed around from our bank. And we learned what was going on. We learned what was going on in the system. Fed can't hide everything. You can dig deep and find out what's going on. This was all happening before the virus came about. And it's well-known news today. Well, then we had the virus. And not sure what to do. Things were going on with that. Another disruption. This was open for everyone to see. And then with the virus going on, we see the fighting of how to continue the economy to not continue the economy. And the finger pointing. And then how much more money has to be dumped into the economy. And then people are getting excessive amounts of money. I mean excessive amounts of money. Me as a businessman has received that. Just by filling out the paperwork the way it's supposed to be filled out. I know there's others that have done that. Unemployment is like maximum $300 and some, plus the federal government puts another $600 on top of that. So now people are getting this money, and they try to hire people back. In some cases, they don't want to come back. And the government said, you don't have to come back. If you're afraid to work, you get to stay home, and you can make, what is it, in Arizona, it's like almost $900 a week. And then, so they're trying to figure out, oh, we got to pay people to go back to work. They're working on an incentive bill. How do we get these people to go back to work? Because this goes through July. And some of these businesses can't get enough employees to come back to work. And then we see rioting, we see protesting, and then we see murders happening, and then we look at the ruckus that we have right now. Look how fast this is happening. What is the next domino to fall? Think about that as we go forward. I'll touch on that here in just a minute. I mean, we look at with this COVID and how the society and even the news is going, what is going on? We haven't experienced anything like this. We haven't been through the Great Depression. We haven't been through World War I, World War II. This is new for us. And it could pass. And then again, it could escalate. Since we're in Peter, let's back up 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This is a reminder for us, for those that are called. It says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. God has called certain individuals to his truth, to be a light, to represent him, to get rid of darkness, that you may proclaim in the Greek says to make known by praise or proclaiming, to celebrate. In other words, we work at putting it into action. We proclaim it. We're thankful for it. We're so excited about it, and it's who we are, and it just radiates, as we heard how we're to do it in the sermonette. the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. God's way is a marvelous light. As Mr. Tuck also touched on it in the announcements, God's light around the world, representation on this earth is very rare. Very rare. There are a few. Those who follow him are being called, there are few who follow the light, that don't mix darkness with light. Those of the light seek to hate sin and love righteousness. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 1, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 1. And here's something that we can put into practice. And Satan is so cunning and so deceiving to get us off track. He is darkness. He is so dark. That when we follow him, we can't see the truth. We can't see the light. When we're in darkness, we can't see the light. We become confused. Become disoriented. We don't understand. 1 John, talking about the light, love righteousness, and they hate sin. 1 John chapter 1, starting verse 5. This is the message which we heard from him, and we declare it to you. So this is what we heard from Jesus Christ, and we're declaring it to you, brethren, that God is light. God is righteous. He's perfect. He does not lie. He does not steal. He loves. He sacrificed his own son. His own son was willing to die for us, and they tell us to do the same thing. God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. He doesn't practice any type of darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we still walk in darkness, we lie. So even if a little bit of darkness, I'm still holding on a little bit of darkness. I still like watching this particular show, or adultery, killing, murder, cussing and swearing right after, over and over. And, you know, those are the shows we shouldn't be watching. Sometimes you can't get away from it. It's spot here and there. We have to tune it out. But what are we focused on? Are we focused on, if we're practicing something like that, do you think that then God says, well, oh, you just have a little bit of darkness in your life. Yeah, you can still have a good relationship with your brother and sister. Oh, you can still have a good relationship with your wife. Now, we're struggling in those areas because we're still practicing the darkness in our life. We haven't fully committed to get it out, to put it out, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie. So it's like we're lying to God. We're fooling ourselves. And do not practice the truth. We don't practice being of the light. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, right? We just read in verse 5, God is light and there's no darkness in him at all. That's why he gave us the sacrifice for our sins to be forgiven, so that darkness could be washed away and for us to practice, to be made right through that sacrifice, through the Holy Spirit that God has given us, or with those that God is working with you if you're not baptized yet. It says, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, so if we're getting rid of the darkness, then what does it say? Then we have fellowship with one another. Oh, that's how you have fellowship with one another, is getting rid of the sin, getting rid of the darkness. So if we're holding on to sin and we wonder why we're struggling with relationships, there's the answer. And then when we do sin, it says, and then the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say, no, I'm still going to walk in a little bit of darkness. I have no sin. I don't want to give it up. Then we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. But it says then in verse 9, if we confess our sins, I need to be a better husband. I need to be a better wife. I need to be a better brother or sister. I need to react differently at work to those in the world. Then he says, if we confess that, we want to get rid of the darkness. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you go forward here to John chapter 2, verse 8, it reiterates this. Again, a new commandment I write to you. This is a new commandment that can only be done through light living in us. The Holy Spirit. We can't do it ourselves. Which thing is true in him and in you? Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. In other words, we want to get rid of that darkness and we want to be putting on light. In verse 9, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. So if we have bitterness, resentment, we can't forgive someone and let that sin go. Well, we have darkness. And we don't have the light. And we read earlier who is going to be in the resurrection. It's those in the first resurrection. Our calling is now. We're judged now. And we must be in the light. Jeremiah 13 tells us that we need to give God glory now, before it's too late. We're called now, and God has given us his glory, given us his light. We're illuminating out. We need to continue that. And if we're not doing that, we need to get back to that before it's too late. Jeremiah 13, verse 16. Give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness and before your feet stumble. On the dark mountains and while you are looking for light, he turns it into the shadow of death. And he makes it dense darkness. So dark you can't see the truth. We come to that point where we're deceived. But if you will not hear, if you will not hear it, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. Not just an individual, the flock. And we know that Israel, Judah, that's what happened. They went into captivity. We need to hear God's word. We need to get rid of the sins in our lives and repent and confess them before God so we can walk in the light. So our relationships can be right with one another. They're not right in the world. We see it. See the arguing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. A prophecy for the future. We see it in the world of how people are living. There's arguing and fighting and finger pointing and everyone cutting each other down. That's not godly. It's not to be with us. But you know what? You know, it is with some of us and maybe even a lot of us. Here it talks about the 10 virgins, Matthew 25. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. So the kingdom of heaven is likened to these 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. So here, judgment time. To see who is of the light and who's of the darkness. Now, five of them were wise and five were foolish. So some were wise and some were foolish. Here we see five and five. Just giving an analogy. We don't know the number, but we do know that many are called and few choose the way of life. And then the numbers get smaller. It's like you have to be chosen as you choose to obey God. You're the elect. We have to remain faithful. And it says, now five of them were foolish, and five were wise, and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, and they took no oil with them. It's representing God's Holy Spirit. So they had their lamp. They were part of the body, mingled in between, but they were still of the darkness. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, so the wise had God's Holy Spirit, and they were using it. God's law is a lamp. His word, his ways. His lamp is a feet to our path and how we walk. But it says, but while the bridegroom was delayed, it says they all slumbered and slept. In other words, my understanding is they were all equally unknowing the return of Christ. They all unequally did not know when the return of Christ was going to happen. Look what COVID-19 did. It happened so fast. We don't know when Christ is going to return. We don't know when that time is. They're all equal in unknowing when the return of Christ was going to happen. But then at midnight, most people are asleep at midnight. That's what it's referring to. A cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. So it's going to happen. The time for our judgment. When it comes time for the tribulation, you know, if we are still practicing darkness, we're going to have to go through that to lose our lives, to truly repent. It has to be a true repentance. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. No, you can't get in. You can't get in. But the Holy Spirit that God has given me and that I've been using, or what you have, I can't get in from you either. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, by getting ready, by being ready, by being in the light, went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Lord, 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 I did this. I was in your presence. We casted out demons. We ate amongst the other brethren. Yes, but you practiced lawlessness. Where was your relationship? Your relationship with others, everyone. Now, some of us, I think we need to be careful. And we say, yeah, we want the return of Jesus Christ. We want to God's kingdom. Turn over to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. And from that perspective is, we shouldn't just be casually saying it. We should be sincere because we are obeying God and we want to be in God's kingdom and we want others to be in God's kingdom. We're tired of this society. We don't want any part of darkness. It's too thick. We want the light. Amos chapter 5. Start in verse 16. It says, the day of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord God of hosts, the Lord says this. There shall be wailing in all the streets at the time of his return. They shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. They shall call the farmer to mourning, and the skillful lamenters to wailing. In all the vineyards there shall be wailing, for I shall pass through you, says the Lord. For those who practice darkness. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, for what good is the day of the Lord to you? Should I ask that? What good is it to you? It will be darkness and not light. When Christ returns, the whole world is going to be dark. Sun, the moon, the stars, everything. When he comes, he's going to be the light. It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. Or as though he went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. It is not the day of the Lord. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? We don't want to be of the darkness. If we're practicing any type of darkness, the day of the Lord is going to be a dark time for us. It is not very dark with no brightness in it. I hate, I despise your feast days. He's talking to us. I despise your feast days because you come to the feast, you come to the Sabbath. Yeah, you're pretending, but you're still of darkness. I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Sabbath is a sacred assembly to us. Are we coming out of the world? Though you offer me burnt offerings, you bring me gifts, you pray, you give offerings, and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. They're no good to me. Nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, the singing to God as we come to him. Are we truly repenting to get rid of darkness? These are the words that God is warning us with. It says, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments, but let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Repent. Did you offer me sacrifices, verse 25, and offerings in the wilderness for 40 years, O house of Israel? Yes, so you came and you offered me for 40 years these sacrifices and these offerings. But you also carried Silcuth, your king, and Kunam, your idols, the stars of your gods. In other words, you still practice darkness. What darkness are we still practicing in our lives? It is read in 1 John, confess your darkness, and I will heal you. And I will send you into captivity. I will send you into deeper darkness. We know that the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. We know that's the seventh trumpet. We know things happen before that, but the things happen before that are all part of the day of the Lord that fulfill that seventh trump for the returning of Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 32, 7 and 8. Let me read it to you. When I put out your light, I will cover the heavens and make its stars dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon will not give her light. All the bright lights of the heavens I will make dark over you, and the darkness upon your land, says the Lord God. That's the fifth angel pouring out the fifth bowl, plague on the earth. I don't know how long that darkness is going to last. But it will happen. And there is an opportunity for all to come, and which we read during the Feast of Tabernacles. I'll just reference it, Isaiah chapter 2. go in there where all mankind eventually will have the opportunity to know the light, to learn of God. Jude 6, Jude, there's no chapter in Jude, it's just the verses. Satan and the demons cannot radiate any light. As we read in the opening verse, the earth was without form and void. Jude 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, their first calling, their first creation of being with God, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change, utter darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And then dropping down to verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is revealed the blackness of darkness forever. They once radiated that light, and they rejected it. And they're going to be in the blackness of blackness forever. In closing, I still want to read a couple verses here. Matthew 5, 14. Let me read it to you real quick. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world." Brethren, we have been called to be the light of the world. The light to the whole world. The few. A city that is set on a hill. And it cannot be hidden. This light, we are this type of light that can't be hidden. We are to proclaim it. We're to be excited about it. Yes, we are to be humble, not put it in people's faces, but it's how we live. It's who we are. It's our relationships with one another. It's keeping the laws of God. Nor do they light a lamp. So it's not going to be hidden, right? So nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. So this light doesn't just be, you don't light it and put it under a basket and then put that basket and cover it up. But on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So we give light to all those we come into contact with. We represent a different way of life. And as we've heard many times, a light doesn't make much noise. We're a light. We have God living in us. They see us by our actions. Let your light shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Give God the glory for the light that is shining in us. I'm going to turn over to John chapter 17 real quick, and I'm going to reference Luke 11 verse 35. All right, you can jot that down. You can look up it later. Luke 11, verse 35 says, "Therefore take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness." Take heed that the light that is in you is not darkness. Make sure that you're not deceived. What it is saying. Where we have our mind, a power, an understanding that we think we're okay. I'm of the light. We're warned. Be careful that that light is not darkness. Now let's turn over to John chapter 17. We're going to read this small section, then we're going to read three verses over in 1 John chapter 3, and then I'll conclude with a few sentences, and that's going to be it. Sometimes we come into the church and we've had, you know, some disagreements, and we say that I know this, and, you know, this is the way it is, and we sometimes push our views. And some of those things, we have to wait and see how God is going to work things out. What does Jesus Christ pray for? Let's set all that aside. We've been called, but we do understand that God has called us, that he is light, that Satan is the god of this world, that he deceives the world, that only God can open our eyes, and as we have a relationship with him and continuing that relationship is the only way that we can see the light and to be the light. And we got to put that into action. Yes, we keep his laws, we keep his commandments. But what is Jesus Christ praying for? He's praying for the church. What is he praying for? That we understand new moons, that we understand who should be in charge, what is he praying for? John 17, verse 20. I do not pray for these alone. I don't just pray for these people, the disciples right now that have been with me, but also for those who will believe on me through their word. So those us, if we're, who will believe on that word, Christ says, I'm praying for you, for us now. And what is he praying for us to do? Here's God who came and died for us, that they all may be one. One. Look at the lawlessness in the world. People practicing darkness. There's no unity. One as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they're willing to die for each other. Willing to serve each other. Willing to esteem each other better than themselves. You, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Is the world going to be able to look at us and see that we're becoming one in God? To know that that's God. There will be those who are doing that. That the world may believe that you sent me. Now, the world doesn't see that now. But one day the world's eyes will be opened and they will be of the light and they'll get rid of the darkness and they will know. But that's what our calling is, even now today. I have someone that works for me that goes out of their way to teach God's ways to them. He works in Houston, our Houston store. That individual's going to church today. That individual has been going over to this gentleman's house every Wednesday night, and they've been studying the Bible, they've been talking, he's been asking questions, he's been reading the literature. And he's going to church for the first time today. And he also has family members that are asking questions. Because someone took the time to be a light, to try to get darkness out of their lives, to restore relationships with others. So that the world may believe that you sent me. They see something in this individual that's different, and they want to know why. And they're asking questions. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, right? God gave Christ that bright light, and he's given it to us, that they may be one, just as we are one. It's all about relationships. It's all about becoming one, getting rid of the bitterness, getting forgiving one another, caring for one another, bearing for one another, developing this relationship through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can't do on our own, except choose to get darkness out of our life. Verse 23, I in them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That the world, again, that who's going to be a kingdom of priests, kings and priests, the world will know that God placed you there because you got rid of all darkness. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. So we follow Christ, we do what he says, he's living in us, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Our righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you that you sent me. We've known that God sent his Son to us for this particular reason, that we could be love, that we could have relationships with one another. I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. That's what he prayed for. Yes. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 3 and be our last verse. Let's think about that. If we are still practicing darkness and not putting on the light, we cannot have a relationship, the right type of relationship, in our marriage, with our brothers and sisters, with others. Now, the song that we sang today talked about one great family, overcoming our differences, becoming one. The Spirit binds us to be in His family. And these are the things that we need to be working on. And if we are, look what God has in store again for us. 1 John chapter 3, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. We've been given a bit of that Holy Spirit now to be His children. Therefore, the world does not know us yet. Doesn't know them yet until they're calling. Because it did not know Him, didn't know God. It didn't know the light because they were practicing darkness. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. We shall be glorified. We shall be light. We shall be God. That's what God is creating. We're never going to be over God or Christ. Wherever we're placed, we're placed. But God is recreating Himself. We will be like Him. We'll be full of power and light. That if the physical individual saw us in our glory, they would melt, as it shows and talks about God's glory. We will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him, what do? They're purifying Himself just as He is pure. We want to be like that light. We don't want to have any part of darkness. Yes, we have a struggle to overcome our nature. We have a struggle to overcome Satan. And brethren, that's the path we need to be on. Darkness is the polar opposite of light. Total opposite. We can't mix. God uses light and darkness in relation to good and evil, as we saw today. Today we looked at the perspective of light and darkness. We are called to come out of darkness and be a light. So we need to heed the words of God. Let's not take them lightly. Let's not leave today and go back to our maybe a routine that still implements darkness into our life. God is praying for each and every one of us to have a relationship with each other, to let the past go. Let it go. And if people are still wanting to hurt us, then well, we just need to stay away from them. But we need to be doing our part. We need to heed the words. We need to be doing our part to be of the light so that the world may know you were of God. Now I know. And they can list all those things that they saw in our lives. The things that we did, the time we took out to care for others. We don't take any credit for that, do we? It's all because of God. Yes, He showed me to come out of it. He gave us that opportunity to be that. So let's heed what we've heard today. Let's be an example of coming out of darkness by repenting and becoming like the light.